This is a Collider.com audio interview.
You know, Dick always says that you're the best producer in town.
I know. It's so nice. And I pay him to say that.
No, do you?
Yeah.
This kind of movie a lot easier to do than big blockbusters.
You know, well, certainly was easier than X3, because X3 was a nightmare in terms of just physically, you know, production. But it was hard. It had its own set of problems, trust me. I mean, we started off shooting a 6-degree night, you know, ski mountains. And
you have limitations with kids and their hours, the amount. I mean, there's a lot of stunts in the movie, so when obviously you're never going to put a kid in a stunt. There was a lot, you know, shooting in an airport. This was challenging because we couldn't get into an airport, so we had to fake that. So it was pretty difficult.
But they're easier because they don't have the egos yet.
Yeah.
So. Kids are easier than movie stars.
Well, what is a movie like this? What is something that you look for to produce something like this rather than an X-Men or a bigger movie?
What or why?
Like, what is it about these kind of movies?
Oh, I love comedy. I love comedy, you know, and I love family movies, so... For me, it's a treat to go from the X-Men series to, you know, a nice small comedy where you're laughing every day. I mean, it's really a different set. Although, that's not true. The X-Men sets are great because we all love each other. You know, the cast, we're a little family by now, and we do laugh a lot.
But it's a movie about character. I mean, I think the thing that drew both of us to the original piece was... what these kids had in common, which was a really sort of difficult experience, and there was something that had a real soul to it, so, you know, on top of the comedy.
Something from your past, when you were a kid, do you remember that?
No.
You know, my parents are together, but I could relate very much to these kids, and you know, I think every kid always has his own set of issues with growing up in a family in the holidays. So, you know, there's certainly things we could relate to.
No. And the decorated houses.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I mean, I'm sure where you grew up, they have these contests where, you know, who can out-decorate the other person.
No, why Utah? It's not like it's the mecca of the entertainment industry.
We went to Utah for two reasons. One was we could not film in an airport because of, after 9/11, there's security issues. And there was the Salt Palace, which... looked like we could transform it into an airport, and which we did. And the other reason was the unclaimed baggage warehouse, the conveyor belt, those are impossible to find. And Paul had a vision which was sort of old and, you know, rusty, and UPS, that's what we used, was UPS. And this was the only place in the country where there was such a conveyor belt, and UPS very kindly let us use their you know, warehouse.
And snow. And,
oh,
you know,
and snow,
and,
exactly.
And they have, you know, they have good crews in Utah, so.
And you get a tax rebate.
And you get a tax rebate.
So it wasn't the Utah nightlife or anything?
No. Although very good restaurants in Salt Lake City. I would say there's a handful, I shouldn't say surprisingly, there's a handful of actually top-notch restaurants.
Yes.
How did Paul come to the project?
We went to him. We had developed the script and, you know, met with several directors. And, I mean, we're all interested in him because of Freaks and Geeks. And also he directed The Office, a number of The Office, which we're all, you know, big fans of.
I think it was his ability with comedy and drama and sort of really understanding the balance of those two things. I mean, this has an emotional center to it. It's a big, fun adventure and all that. And that was really important to him. But he really understood the character. And if you look at his books or his any of his television work, you really get a sense of, and particularly Freaks and Geeks, of how much fun that is, but also that it's a very, I think people love that show because they really related to those characters.
And he directed the last one, which was, which you probably don't remember, but it was very funny, but the end was very poignant, and that's what really sold us.
How hard was it to find this cast? And also, did you pick Paul because he worked with children before? Because that seems like it would be really important.
What?
He'd worked with multiple characters before.
Yeah, and I think his ability, the cast he put together for Freaks and Geeks, they were mostly unknowns who all went on to be pretty big stars. So he had a great eye for that. That's also why Allison Jones, you know, she cast that as well, and she cast our movie. But it was a challenge to find our kids. We went through a lot of kids, but both Paul and Allison did a great job.
Yeah. Tyler said he had to do an audition. I'm kind of surprised because I thought he probably was having a TV series.
Well, we did want him. I think, you know, Paul, he just had to show Paul that, and all of us, that he could do it. But, you know, we all knew it. It was sort of a... It was, yeah, really. I mean, it was just... he had it before he auditioned. But we had him do it just in case.
I guess I'm going to put the question out there of what's the superhero update?
Well, we're going to do Wolverine, I hope, in the fall. And we're out to director now. We have a good script. And I think we're going to do Young Magneto. We have a really great script. We have a director that's interested. And he'll do a rewrite on the script. But, you know, it's Young Magneto and Young Xavier. Not kid young, but, you know. When Magneto got out of the Holocaust, through the Holocaust, and when Eric Lynscher became Magneto.
Now, I know that there's been talk, and we recently asked Hugh about this, regarding that Brian said that he'd been offered to direct Wolverine. Mm-hmm. Okay, but I guess there's a schedule conflict regarding, you know, Man of Steel, and is there someone else? Is there still a possibility that Brian could do Wolverine? Or?
I would love it. I mean, we would love nothing more than to have Brian do Wolverine. But Brian is developing the sequel to Superman, so I don't know. It depends on scheduling. But nothing would please all of us more.
Now, but Hugh also said that he's going to be doing the Bass film, and then he wants 4 months to really bulk up and get in the best shape as possible.
Right.
So he's thinking maybe January, February of
2008. I know. He's thinking that. We're thinking fall. So I'm sorry, Hugh. But he knows that.
Could you coordinate these in a way that we could maybe have a whole year where there's several X-Men sequels or spin-offs carry us through?
Yes, we could. You know, yes, we could, and there's some other ideas that we're going to be delving into, but it's often, you know, availability of actor, availability of director, and weather conditions, so you don't always have that luxury. And most importantly, the release date. What else is coming out? What other comic book movies are we going against? So, I mean, you know, we always set our release dates before we ever start filming those movies.
Going back to the original X-Men, I mean, what kind of life for the franchise did you envisage in that?
Expect it to... In our wildest dreams, we wanted it to be a franchise. I mean, we wanted it to be able to spin off. There's 40 years of comics. But, you know, I'll tell you that because we never previewed it, there was a day when Brian, myself, our editor, and I think Tom Rothman was in the room, and we all looked at each other and said, we'll never work it again. Because we didn't know what we had.
Now, Rothman recently said that even though it's been said that The Last Stand was the last of the last of that group of X-Men, mm-hmm. you know, I asked him, I said, well, we never saw Cyclops, we never saw Gambit, we never saw a lot of these great heroes.
Right.
Future ensemble films,
right.
You know, Young Mutants or anything.
Yes.
What's in the pipeline for the future of the X-Men franchise?
I can't say. But
do you think we'll ever see Gambit?
Probably. You know, the reason we didn't use Gambit is that, in a sense, his persona is a bit like Wolverine's in that he's got attitude, and his power is not quite as exciting as the others. And that's why we went to Nightcrawler on 2, because he looked different than everybody else, and he had a great power. So, yes, I think we would weave Gambit within our story. It wouldn't be the Gambit movie. I mean, I love him. And remember Lost, the guy, what's his name? There was a guy in there who's perfect Gambit. The guy with the straight hair is good looking, the bad boy.
Sawyer, Josh Holloway?
Sawyer, exactly.
Josh Holloway.
Yeah, yeah. All right, but back to Unaccompany Minds.
We have to, sorry.
All right. That's good, I'm fine, I'm thrilled, believe me.
I don't know if this question was asked, but have you been stuck in an airport and share
absolutely.
A horror story, airport story with us?
Well, what we were saying before, every writer who was hired on this movie immediately after would get stuck in an airport. Maya and Jacob had a terrible experience where they were overnight, had to stay over. Kate Condell did some work on this and is a great writer, and literally immediately was stuck in, I think, in Utah for 4 or 5 hours. Paul, yeah, we all have. I mean, I think anybody who travels, unfortunately, has too many stories. But
any plans for the DVD?
We have a lot of great. Yeah. You know, we had so many comedians come in. It was pretty much an embarrassment of riches, and so there's a lot of stuff, and particularly with the kids in the hall that I think we'll put onto the. I mean, those guys sat in that hall for an hour.
Yeah.
It literally was the kids in the hall for about an hour of the most insane stuff you've ever heard. So we're looking forward to
hilarious.
Well, family appropriate.
The Kids in the Hall stuff really was. Yeah, Lewis Black every time, every so often goes off the rails. But but yeah, it's, you know, and Cordry and their stuff with BJ Novak and Tony Hale and Mindy Kaling. I mean, these are really funny people. So we would just let the camera, and Paul always lets the cameras roll. You know, he doesn't like to yell cut. He just wants to just keep going.
Or he'll throw out ideas to inspire them.
It seemed like a reunion of The Office, Arrested Development, and Kids in the Hall. So was that Paul or was that you guys?
Well, there's a lot of Paul.
There's a lot of Paul. Yeah. You know, people being drawn, you know, to the movie because of him, and then, you know,
because of each other.
One guy gets the next one. So, but you know, when Lewis came in pretty early, suddenly we got a few more people who wanted to come in for a day here and there.
Yeah.
What was it about him, about Lewis, that you wanted for this role?
You know, Lewis went to Yale Drama School and is a playwright and an actor before he did his stand-up. So we wanted, somebody funny but a good actor. And, you know, we were all fans of The Daily Show, and we were just thrilled when he said yes.
And his just that anger persona that he's got, it's just so much fun. The idea of that with these kids just making him more and more angry was just really fun to think about.
What is Cirque du Freak? Is that like Cirque du Soleil gone wrong?
No. It's a series of 12 books in England that are hugely popular, and they're in the vein of Harry Potter in that, you know, young boys and girls love them, but it's about a kid who Cirque du Freak is a freak show that comes to town, and through this series of events, he becomes a vampire's assistant, which is sort of like a half vampire. So he has half the powers, he has the speed, and he'll age half as much. And it's and his best friend, it turns out, also becomes. There's a war between the good vampires and the bad vampires. His best friend becomes head of the bad vampires, and ultimately the books lead to a huge war between the two of them.
Oh, how far ahead is that?
Well, we're in the first, we'll start the first one. Brian Hegelin wrote the script, and we've brought in Paul Weitz to direct it, and Paul's doing his rewrite, and we use the first three books. There'll be four movies, three books. Each movie is a combination of three books.
Are you retaining the English setting?
No, we're going to set it in America. It works just as well.
And what age is that appropriate for? It sounds like it could be a little more intense than Potter.
It is more intense than Potter. It will still be PG-13, but, you know, X-Men was PG-13, and we went pretty far, so it'll go that far.
What studio?
Universal.
Can you tell us a little bit about Out Cold and Patriot Mill?
Out Cold actually was the first time I worked with Brett Kelly. Who had a small role in that, which was just a snowboarding movie did a few years ago with the Malloy brothers, and it was a, you know, very fun movie. Patriotville was a little movie I just did in South Carolina with a young filmmaker named Talmadge Cooley, who's done a couple shorts that were both at Sundance. Small indie that were, you know, in consideration at Sundance now with Justin Long, and another Rob Corddry was also in that, and Keir O'Donnell and Missy Pyle, great cast that we just did and just finished and are just in the post process right now. So
is there anything that isn't listed in these bios that you can spill the beans on or talk to? We'll throw it out there.
Coming up or
sure.
I don't know. What do you want to talk about? We did Constantine together.
But what do you have coming up?
Coming up is 36 with Robert De Niro, which is a remake of a 36 Quiet as a Fever, which was a French movie with Gerard Depardieu and Daniel Auteuil, which won every French Academy Award. It's a big cop drama. Dean Torgeros wrote the script. We should be shooting that in the spring. We're just figuring out the director situation right now. It'll be De Niro and another actor. So it's a pretty heavy, kind of modern L.A. Confidential type big cop drama for Paramount. It'll come out February 08.
Who's your ideal?
There's directors that are, there's a couple of directors that are out too, so one of them.
Whoever says yes.
Talking about, are we ever going to see a sequel to Constantine?
Yes, you might.
Yes.
You might.
With Keanu?
With Keanu. We have been working with a team of writers to come up with the story, and yes, we will.
I have a question about, when we interviewed Hugh Jackman, you talked about how the Wolverine script was out to directors,
mm-hmm.
and how, you know, you can only go out to like one A-list director at a time.
I know, it's such a pain. It is a pain, I'm sorry.
How long do you give? I'm curious about, like, what's the window do you give people?
Interesting that you say that, because I'm just about ready to say, you know, here's the problem. So, our movie is out to a director who is filming, and understandably, he cannot take the time to read the script because he's filming, but he wants to. He has expressed a desire to make the movie, and we very much want him to, so you tend to want to wait for that, you know.
I mean, my experience has been if you're out to somebody exclusively, you can expect an answer within a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You don't always have to go out exclusively. You know, we have projects that are out to several people that I think everyone would consider A-list, and they're reading it. You know, and the agents often want it exclusive for them, and you can say no.
I'm about to say to the agent, because of his circumstance, we are going to go out to other people. So we hope he does it, but we're going to go.
How about Dick Donner?
Listen, nothing would make me happier. I would then step back because I don't produce him anymore, but. I don't think he feels that he's done his comic book movie.
Yes, he has.
And in fact, he just recut Superman 2, which is unbelievable. You guys must go out and get that DVD because it's really, really good. And then send Dick $10 because he doesn't get any points in it.
I actually wanted to ask you, since we had a chance to see his cut of Superman 2, obviously that was before you were even involved with him. So
oh, yeah.
How excited are you?
Oh, I'm so excited. I saw it. I mean, he screened it. It's so good. Because I remember seeing Superman 2 and thinking it was really stupid. And then I saw his, and it's, oh, my God, it's just so good. It's so, and Margot and Chris are so, so good. It's so much Dick's personality up there, you know. It's just great.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So much.
Thank you.